I'm going to give you a little something here. Psalm 51. David wrote this psalm. And it's a psalm of repentance. That's what I look at it as, a psalm of repentance. I just want to say a few things. This is what David said in the psalm of repentance after Nathan come to him and preached to him about his sin. And this is David's prayer. You wouldn't ever have his prayer if we wouldn't. He hadn't went through what he went through. And Old Testament's for our learning. It's not just done away with. There's a lot of things that were. We don't sacrifice animals no more. We don't live under the Old Testament economy. We've got a better covenant. And if we got a better covenant, then thank God I won't stick with what's best. Amen. But the Old Testament, thank God, is written for our learning and admonition. Notice what he said in verse 1. David said this, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Now, the word mercy means, God, would you stoop in kindness to an inferior that sinned against you? That's what he's saying right there. He said, according, why? To thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wipe the record clean. God, I've got some transgressions up there. And God knows it this morning. Listen, can I tell you this, and you know this? Nobody, including myself, gets away with any sin. God sees and knows everything. That's the amazing thing to me this morning. That God would know the route I take sometimes. And God would still have mercy. And God would still have loving kindness. That's amazing that God still loves His people the way He does, knowing who they are. The only way God's going to get glory, amen, He's got control of His people, and He's going to work in their lives, and He's going to make them something, thank God, that nobody else can this morning, amen. Exactly right. Self-righteous people think they need no work. Sinners that saved by grace know they need work. Can I tell you this? God takes your failures and mine and makes them an issue with Himself to change us. Listen, you say, how can these things be? It's the grace of God. How in the world can you make it this morning? Why on the first day of the week did you even have a desire to walk into this place? It's because God done something in you. Amen. I hope that's right. Because God's a working in you and on you. Amen. I cannot, Jephthah said, I cannot go back. His own daughter walked through the door after he made a vow. Amen. He had to offer up. Thank God. It was the first one that walked through the door after God had given him victory. Amen. Listen, Jephthah had a rough life. His own mother, my friend, was a harlot. He was raised in a family friend that was outcast people. But God chose this man. And God gave him victory. And Jephthah, thank God, when he vowed to God, he vowed, thank God, with a heart. And his daughter come through the door after victory. And he said he'd offer up as a burnt offering. The one that came through the door, it was a very vowed friend, was the hardest one to keep, because it was his own daughter. Amen. He said, I can't go back on what I vowed. I can't do it. How serious do we take Christianity? How serious? Notice, see, I got to go on. Wash. He said this. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And the other, he said, if you look this word up, wash, it's like a wash tub, friend. And it's like they're putting their clothes in that wash tub and he's crapping on this, on the clothes. He wants to get it thoroughly clean. And that's the way he's saying in his own soul. He's saying, wash me. I want to be thoroughly clean. I don't want no iniquity in my life. I see it as you see it, God. I see it as sin this morning. That's why I said in verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. You're going to have to acknowledge it before you confess it. And my sin is there before me. Here's just what he's saying right here. Listen. He's saying, my sin is on my mind all the time. Listen, there's things on your mind this morning that you can't get forgiveness from because you won't forgive yourself, number one. Number two, you won't believe God. That's right. There's things that plague you and me every day. Satan's going to plague you enough. Ain't no need to give place to him and let him plague you over your own mental thinking. David knew he had to get this sin cleansed because it was ever before him. Where he went, that sin was still plaguing him in his own mind. He had to get it clean. He had to come clean before God. Notice verse 4, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear in that thou..." He knew God was a just God. God is a just God. Amen. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have turned out, thank God, on his own son and put him what he went through for sin. That's because of his justice. Thank God, because he's holy and he's just. And sin had to be paid for. And he had to turn the wrath of God on his own son. Now, my sin is the problem. Jesus said, I'm going to take hot sin and put it on me. And then I'm going to let my Heavenly Father turn the wrath of God on me through a wicked pair of hands and go through what I go through and hang on a cross for 6 hours, nail-pierced hands and nail-pierced feet, amen, and let the just God judge me for hot sin. That's the only way I can set him free and let him be saved and forgiven. And David knew God was a just God, and he knew he wasn't going to get by with anything. What he's saying, verse 5, "Behold, I was shaping in iniquity." He's making this claim to God. He has formed or shaped in iniquity, "and sin did my mother conceive me." He's saying, in me's inbred sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I believe the Bible. And I know it's different interpretations people give, but there ain't but one interpretation of this. He said, "Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Let me, when that baby come out of that womb, it was a sinner. The only thing about that baby, he's under the innocence of God, as far as I'm concerned. Under the consciousness of sin is awakened within them, and they see their accountability, and then they'll have to be accountable to God. Amen. Knowing, praise God, the judgment of God. Amen. And that ain't a certain age. And we'll say this morning. I'm gonna show you the hypocrisy of preaching that you don't sin. "These things I write unto you that you sin not." But the prior chapter says, if we say we have not sinned, then we're lying and we're trying to make him a liar. Or we make him a liar. Now, if you believe, people say you believe in the second work of grace, I believe in more than two works. I do believe God sanctified me the day I got saved, and he set me apart for the purpose of God in the body of Christ. But I do believe in a progressive sanctification, and I do believe that I'll only be complete and completely holy for when he comes and makes me that way. Until then, I'm going to fight with this inbred sin that's in me, because that's just the way it is. And see, God gets glory and gives me victory over sin, amen, because of Christ, the living Christ in me. And God that produces holiness in my life, which is an attitude of heart towards sin, amen, that God hates sin. But at the same time, friend, everybody has a problem with sin. There's no way you ever get to a place in the Christian life, and I know they say this is preaching a sinning religion. It's not preaching a sinning religion. It's preaching a true truth in the Bible, friend, that a man don't get to a place where he don't sin in this flesh. I'm going to tell you the people that recognize sin more than anybody else, the people that's close to him. The closer you get to God, the more you'll see how weak, wicked, corrupt in your flesh, and you feel like old David here. Amen. I'm shaping iniquity. And when some people say, well, I'm not bad as the other guy, I don't do that much wrong, he's really blind. And if you point out other people's sins to you, you're really blind. Amen. Notice David said, that's me. He said, I was shaped. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Notice verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In other words, he just said, truth sanctifies a man inwardly. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. Amen. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Hyssop, of course, they used on the put the blood on the doorpost, side post. It's a picture of the blood cleansing a man. It's a picture of the blood cleaning up a man. That's the way it is. God has to clean you. And brethren, listen, he does it upon repentance. He said, if we walk in the light, he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Notice verse number 8, make me to hear joy, gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know what he's saying there? I need to hear from you, Lord. Make me to hear gladness. Tell me something. I've been pardoned. Tell me you cleansed me. Tell me, God of heaven, that has passed. Buddy, when you need, listen, when you really need an answer from God, you're going to stay with God till you get it. This stuff of this praying 5 minutes or 2 minutes or however long you pray, I'm going to tell you, God might come in two or five, but I'm telling you, you'll stay with it. That God has given you an answer. Amen? That's exactly right. I'm telling you, it might be days, but I'm telling you, we'll stay with it. That God gives you an answer. And God's the only one that can give you an answer. And you better find the answer, because your soul is worth more than the whole world. And what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, his own soul? So a man needs to hear from God this morning. Notice this here in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. The inward man, oh God, I like that, oh God. What an expression. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. This is a man that knows God. He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the chosen king of Jehovah. He led the Israelites, friend. He is, thank God. Amen. God said, I don't have but one thing against him. That deal with the Uriah the Hittite. God said that. Amen. God said of one thing. Amen. He said, I'm not going after a man that's after my own heart. You won't know if you're after God's heart. Then he said this, renew a right spirit within me. Inward cleansing and reviving is what he's praying for. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That verse, this to me, is saying, Lord, I need you. I need your presence. I need you. I do not believe, and I'm not going to debate with anybody, I do not believe the Holy Ghost indwelt Old Testament believers permanently. I believe He came upon them. I believe He was around them. I believe He enabled them. I believe He empowered them. But the Holy Ghost didn't come to stay until the day of Pentecost. And He indwelt. That's the ministry of the New Testament. Amen. That Christ, thank God, sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And He indwells believers. Amen. Brethren, He said the ministry is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Exactly right. Notice verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What about that in the Old Testament? He said, then will I... I'm going to talk to you a minute about restore. The word restore just means that you need to have a returning. When you're restored, that means you return. There are things that come back that are you get again. Buddy, we don't run on much joy no more. There ain't much shouting at the house of God. Amen. I tell you, there used to be shouting at the house of God. There used to be outward praise at the house of God. And that always been the praise is different from worship, even though they're hand in hand. Worship is a humbleness of heart and gratitude to God. A praise and expression that comes from that. It comes from the lips in an outward way. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10 said. It was the strength. Then people got the Word of God read to them. Ezra stood up and read the Word of God to them. And then people said, amen, amen, amen. He don't visit the Baptist church enough. I wouldn't amen a lie, but I'm amen the truth. We need a restoration of joy. If there's ever been something that could be, amen, when it said in Acts 8, in Samaria, when Philip went preached, it talked about the joy that they had in that city with the power of God being there. I want to teach y'all something if you don't know it. When God's a running, run with Him. If He ain't running, then don't run with Him. Don't sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about. Watching a football game one time, it's carnal, but it's true. God kicks a kickoff, they need a touchdown. Guy goes down the sideline, the coach runs with him until he crosses the goal. He runs with him. He's running for something. What in the world are you doing here? We're not running for something. Where's the groanings in the house of God? Where's the desires? Where are the outward expressions? Somebody said, I'm waiting on God to move on me. Hey, man, Jesus said, rather joyous because your name's in heaven. What else you need? Some of y'all wouldn't amen truth if it was... I don't understand that. I mean, I know everybody's got different personalities. I understand that kind of thing. But I don't understand why we meet together. Nobody's ever hardly happy. And everybody's sitting like, hey, amen, their mother-in-law moved within them. Hey, amen, moved in their house. Hey, God, just drank a glass of vinegar. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something positionally in me that says, thank God, friend. I'm glad I'm saved. And there ought to be some joy at the house of God. Amen. Thank God Paul and Silas got whipped, beat, and everything else thrown into Philippian jail. Amen. They started rejoicing and singing and praying. And they didn't even have to have a preacher to ask them. Didn't they want to do it? Amen. Amen. Here we drive in good cars, had heat, air conditioned. Thank God the cruise control. Amen. Soft seats. Come in the church house, got pews. Amen. Man opens the Bible, teaches. Ladies teach children. Amen. Sit here, hear a good song by the boys. Jesus coming just any day now when they threw us. Call on a man to pray under, he gets in the unction. Where's the men at? That's right, praise God, amen. That's what I'm talking about, running with them. You say, preacher, listen, if I die today, I'll die with this message. Wouldn't matter if you got mad or not. Don't mean a hill of beans to me. I love you too much. The church needs to run with it. You know why we lost our joy? Because we don't want it too much. We've got other things we're excited about. Hey, and there ain't nothing wrong being excited about some things. Thank God for the blessings of God. We ought to be excited. Rejoice. Thank God. Amen. A grandchild's born. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Children, thank God. You got to hold your little grand. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to kiss my little granddaughter. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. There's something that'll brighten our days. What about brightening her heart? Jesus. I tell you, we need restore. He said, listen, He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, the joy of thy deliverance. Let me tell you something this morning. I stand in doubt of a man. I stand in doubt of a woman. I stand in doubt of anybody that cannot rejoice in the fact that they have been delivered completely from sin, from the debt, from hell, from judgment. I stand in doubt. I don't even know if they ever have had it. Help. Y'all both ought to be as happy today as you got new granddaughter. When the first time you seen her, you wept in your heart and your eyes. And He said, thank God. Hallelujah. You ought to be like that. Praise God, son. I love that little old girl when you hold her. You say, hi, if you're just emotional. Call me while you want to. I don't care. Buddy, the day I got saved, I ran like a jackrabbit to my car. I said, thank God the burden's gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody, thank God for it. I'm not a Protestant. If we want to live like them, let me get me a robe, backward collar. Amen. Nobody can say amen. Amen. We'll robe a choir. Hey, God, we'll read a message. And we'll go to the house and say we got God. Where's Joey? You got to call Joey up sometimes. You ever called her up from the way? Hey, Joey. Hey, Joey. God, Joey. Oh, Joey. Hallelujah. Thank God, Joey's in me. Amen. Come on up, Joey. Spring up, Joey. Come on, Lord God. I remember that day. Thank God the truth God preached in my heart. And I got saved. And thank God the burden left. And I'm saved. Come on, Joey. Come on. Come on up in me. Come on up in me. Oh, let somebody else testify. Come up in me, Joey. Come up in me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Come up in me. That's right. That's right. Huh? Come up, Joy. Spring up. Jesus told her one way. He said, it'll spring up in you.
Yeah.
Where in the world is the spring at? I watched a little football yesterday. Maybe more than a little. I don't know what a little is. 100,000 people sitting in a stadium. 100,000. That's the God of America. Sports is the God of America. And I get sometimes to God and I say, Lord, why in the world do I have to be like this? I cried the other day. I said, God, help me. God, help me. I'm not where I ought to be. That goal ain't nothing in this world can satisfy God. Why am I going that way? Well, I've got to follow what Paul mean when he said I fought a good fight. What did he mean? What did he mean? Well, you're going to fight yourself more than anybody. Fight against the flesh. Fight against Satan. Fight against the darkness of this world. He fought all the time. He never took his boxing gloves off. That's why he said, I don't beat the iron neither, son. I'm hitting what I'm boxing. Amen. Amen. See, friend, can I tell you this? Brother Daniel, I want to tell you this. The Christian life is a struggle. We rest in Christ, but the life to live for God's a struggle. You struggle with yourself every day. I don't care what you say. You struggle with the outward world every day. You struggle with problems. You struggle with issues. You struggle with people. The battle's already been won. But I'm telling you this morning, you can live in victory and you can have joy. David hadn't had joy because he had sin that needed to be cleared and cleansed. And that's why he couldn't shout. That's why he couldn't have joy. Amen. He didn't live in New Testament day where he had the indwelling Holy Ghost. He lived the day with the presence of God around him. He knew God. He knew the God of Jehovah. David loved worshiping and praising God. I'm telling you, he wanted to feel it again. Amen. You know when you'll get ready to grow in God? When you're dissatisfied with yourself and you want to seek more. I tell you, we need a restoration of joy. We need a restoration of desire, tears, purity. God help me. I preach to myself this morning. Preach to myself. I've been reading on Daniel, son. Think about Daniel, man. Here a young man went to a godless Babylon under a king that was a polyistic God. He believed a polyistic king that believed there was more than one God, and he believed in all these different gods. And here Daniel goes in, amen. And it was amazing to me how in chapter 1, thank God that he proved to that crowd that he didn't have to have the king's meat nor the king's wine, amen. And they saw that God was real in them. Chapter 2, the magicians and astrologers couldn't tell him what he dreamed and what the interpretation was. I like what Daniel said, son. He got there and he said, he sought God, and God said, this is the dream and the interpretation. This, he told Daniel that. And this is what he said when he got down. He said, I want to tell you this, king. I know what the dream was and interpretation, because there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He saw it again. He thank God put him in a high position. In chapter 3, they built this 90-foot image. And friend, it was so big, and everybody's bound to it, Brother Joe, at the playing of the music. Amen. Them other boys, I don't know where Daniel was at the time, but the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they wasn't bound. They reported them because they had a position in Babylon, and they said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. He said, rather, we're real ready to answer you about this. We ain't bowing to it. He said, we're not bound to that. We're not bound to it. And if God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, he's still God, and we ain't bound to it, amen. Now, in that fire pit, it was so strong a fire that it slew the men that threw them in. I was reading on this fire pit yesterday a little bit, and it was a very little hole or window there at the bottom where they would chuck it up, and I'm going to use charcoal. I don't really know what they chucked it up with, possibly. And there's a place ashes come out where they burn people. That was the capital punishment of that day. And son, he threw them boys in there. And for some reason, because God put it on him, he looked in there. He probably thought them ashes ought to be coming out after them boys have been there a while. And so when he looked in there, he got the count, and he said, there's more than three in there. There's one like it in the Son of God, the fourth man. Amen. And brother, I'm telling you this. Thank God he brought them boys out, and they didn't have a hair of sins on their head. They didn't smell like smoke. I'm telling you, thank God. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, and Nebuchadnezzar said, there's not another God like their God. Restoration, friend. We're in a restoration. I'm not going to ask this young man this. You saw a miracle this week because you saw a baby born. But if I ask Trevor or any of these young people in here, I say, I'm going to give you a mic. How about standing here in the church and look at everybody and tell them what miracles you've seen in people's life this week or over the last 6 months in Westside Baptist Church? We'll walk in and say, well, I hope the preacher's got it today. Is he the same God? You said it this morning. Isn't he the same God? Same God. Same God. Same God can heal. Same God can save. Same God can do miraculous things. I know your prayer request. I prayed this morning. I know your prayer. I know your desire. I prayed this morning. I just want to say this, and I know God's on the throne. He does as he pleases, but at the same time, he give us instruction and methods and ways to bring forth some things. Are we dissatisfied with this? Well, it must not be the will of God. That's where the church is. We pray for people and say, oh, it must not be the will of God. That's right. What's the church mean to you? What does this assembly mean to you? What's preaching mean to you? What's singing mean to you? What's the brethren mean to you? Stand up here, man. I'm through here. This man here has got a wife. She's living for herself. I ain't condemning her. That's what I did before I got saved. He's doing his best to try to get her to God by his testimony and whatever. You know what we'll say? Well, we'll be praying for you. Are we really? Are we really stuck into this thing saying, look, I know you've been praying and doing all you can, and I'm going to get in with you as a body of Christ, and we're going to pull for God to do something in her. And I don't want you to take this wrong. God's either going to save her or he's going to damn her. Because our prayers is going to lit like heaven up over it.
Amen.
Let's just skip along. Let's just come in here and hear somebody give a good Bible lesson, man, get up and preach, and let's just skip back out. Not concerned a bit. It don't affect us a bit. We get in our car and go back home and eat our dinner and watch a football game. I'm talking to myself. I'm preaching to myself. What in the world do you leave us here for? David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I need joy. And I'm going to tell you what he said. Then will I teach sinners. Then will I teach them. And I'm going to tell you what I preached this morning. I can't make it happen in me or you. I can be in the place to get it. I can't. You can't make me do nothing. I can't make you do nothing. I can jump on you like Bobby Knight and it won't do a bit of good. Throw chairs, grab collars and everything else. That wouldn't change a man. That's a pretty good show, but that's just, amen. It's like that little boy went to church, you know. And he was going home and Daddy said, I didn't like that preacher too good. He was too loud. And the mama said, well, I really didn't like the singing. It didn't seem like it was on key. And the little boy looked up there and he said, he had his head down. He looked up and he said, looks like it's a pretty good show to y'all for a dollar. I'll tell you this and I'll tell myself this. What I put into it is what I'm going to get out of it. Amen. That's right. You say, preacher, what if this message caused people not to come back? Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather have 35, 45, 50 people that say, I want God more than I want anything else, than have people play in church. Amen. What in the world is called biblical success? It ain't having a full house. It's having a house full of God. And I'm the number one man in this church that needs it. And I say that honestly. And may the Lord add his blessing. I love you. Please, I stand this morning. We'll dismiss in order.